Philippians chapter 4, and I start reading from verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, or mount guard, right, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, that if there be any virtue in them, that if there be any praise in them, think on these things. And then he concluded by saying, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we started looking at this, but we want to start a series this month, and it's about a detailed study, right, on the practice of transformation that comes by replacing old thoughts with new ones. That is a detailed study on the practice of transformation that comes by replacing old thoughts with new ones. Now, the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. That word transformation, right, comes from the word where we get metamorphosis. In other words, the outward form of the same life will be drastically changed as our minds are renewed, making things that were once impossible to be accomplished, making them now the norm. In other words, when we look at metamorphosis, it's the caterpillar going right up to the butterfly. If the caterpillar is right on the ground there, and it tells us that I'm going to be in the air hanging here in the next 7 seconds, you will say that is impossible. But that same life in the caterpillar is that which is in the butterfly. It's just that the form of the life has changed, outward form. And if the butterfly says, I'll be here in 7 seconds, you'll say, yes, that is possible, and you will get that done easily. Now, what this means is when there is transformation through the renewal of our minds, what we once found impossible and difficult now becomes the norm. And this happens by replacing old with new. Right? When we got born again, it's our spirits that got born again. Our souls did not get born again. Now, this body will be shed, is going back to the dust, but our souls will go with our spirits right into heaven. Remember that the man who, you know, called Abraham and said, Lazarus, talked to him about Lazarus when they were in hate, that Lazarus should be sent to bring water and all of that. Now, this man's body was gone, but his memory was still there where he was. He talked about his brothers. He talked about somebody going to talk to his brothers. So his soul was still there, all right? It's the body that will be completely replaced. And so it tells us the importance of renewing our minds, salvation of our souls, right? Because if we look at it, the spirit is like the engine of the car. And let's say the soul is like the body of the car. Now we have the same soul, the same way it was when we were not saved. When you get born again, your spirit is completely changed, but your soul remains exactly the same. And God says we want to do some renovation here. Change the parts, all right, of the body of the car. Bring in new parts. Engine is brand new, but there must be the renovation of the body of that particular cup. And this is what is going on within our minds. And it shows directly in our lives. What we see in our lives, we'll see this, it's a direct product of what resides in our minds. And so when Paul told them about praying, and he said that they shouldn't be fearful, all right, entertain thoughts, fearful thoughts, all right, about negative outcomes, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, they should make their request known unto God. He said the effect of it is that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart. And then he said, make sure you think upon these things. And when you look at the list of all that must be in the thoughts, then we know that he is simply saying, all right, receive thoughts from God, because only God's thoughts that can be of good report, honest, true, all right, just, and all of that at the same time. So receive thoughts from God and meditate upon these thoughts and think upon these things. That what is going to happen in answer to prayer is that God is going to give you the thoughts, because what you have in your life now is a product of what? The thoughts that are lodged in your mind. So in order to change anything on the outside, it says, I will give you the raw material, right, through which you will effect the change. This raw material are thoughts. And then when I give you thoughts, you do the right thing with the thoughts. You meditate upon them and let them sink into your being. And then when they get right on the inside, they will manifest in your life as events and all of that. And we saw in Jeremiah 29 that, you know, God gave them a prophecy and said 70 years, after 70 years is fulfilled, then you are going to be emancipated. And he said, you know, the thoughts that I think towards you, this shows that this peace here are thoughts. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you the expected end. So when God wants to give a person the expected end, he sends the thoughts of that expectation into the heart of that person. And then he says, think upon this. Meditate upon these thoughts, that thy profiting might appear unto all. Now, let me just say a brief recap from what said on Sunday last week. He said, when you want to pray, it is by prayer and by supplication. And we explained what prayer means, that these are legal words that were used. And prayer is really a formal written request. It's a petition, right, whereby it goes with the acceptable legal guidelines. And it brings about, you know, the legal side of your request. For example, if I have a dispute with somebody on this pulpit as to the ownership of this pulpit, or there's some dispute over it, right, and we want to go to court concerning it. Now, there's no way in the law of the land of Nigeria that this pulpit is described, right, within the law, how to resolve the dispute with this pulpit in exact, and this pulpit is actually described there, all right, within that law, that I can just say, well, concerning the pulpits, this is it. But there are laws that have been written that are in the law of the land that actually cover this case that we have. But then we will need, all right, a lawyer, an advocate, who is versed in the knowledge or skillful in the knowledge of the laws of the land, to be able to find in the law, right, the area of the law that covers this particular dispute, and to be able to cite those areas and then bring my request into the context of that law or those laws there, and then can now forward that, all right, to the court. So I needed the help of a lawyer who will cite areas in the law and say, based on one or two or three, this pulpit rightfully belongs to him, and therefore it should be given unto him. So in order for us to be able to pray effectively, we've got to cite the relevant portions of the scripture And then we can now make our supplication, and we define a supplication as a specific request that is now made in the context of the law, right? Or in the context of God's will. You now make your own specific request, which means that it is now your own will now, all right, where you are making your own request based on what God has shown you. So it tells us in the book of John, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But the prerequisite is that God's word abide in you concerning that particular thing. So I have certain desires, then I offer those things up in the context of God's word. And so God says, if you ask anything, that's your own request now, but it's according to my will, backed by prayer, I will hear. And once I hear, I will communicate the assurance to you in your heart that you have those things that you desire of me. And so we said that when we get ourselves in situations, we've got to depend upon our advocate. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our helper, right? That word can be translated into seven different words. And one of them, all right, when it says our helper or comforter, is our advocate. One of the words that uses to describe that word in Greek means your advocate, which means he stands there as your legal advisor, one that will assist you when you enter into prayer. So the scripture says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And it says, he that searches the heart, we saw this last week, your spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly, will know what is the mind of the Spirit, for he is making intercession according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God communicates to you what is God's will by bringing out portions in the Word of God that speak directly to your situation, and then you can now, in the context of what you've seen in the Word of God, offer up specific requests unto God, asking him for the things that you, as a person, you want to happen in that situation. When Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, he used that legal word of prayer. In other words, when you ask according to my will, but is what you desire being brought into the context of my will, he says, if you believe that you receive, you shall have them. So we saw one of the benefits of praying in the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit now has the opportunity to draw out from your being relevant scriptures that fit that particular case. And what he does is that he brings to your remembrance things that God has told you concerning it. We saw that the definition of the word rhema really means, all right, a specific scripture or portion of scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance in a time of need. The prerequisite being regular storage in your mind. So it's important that we spend time studying the Word of God, studying this, so that the Holy Spirit can bring us into a vast knowledge of scriptures, so that when we get into a situation, he can pull our scriptures out of our heart and just say, these are the scriptures that you should use for this particular situation. So we've got to get back to that old-time Christian faith where people had quiet time with God, where they were taught discipleship, where people set time aside every day to read the Bible, to become knowledgeable in the scriptures. Because if you don't have the Word of God on the inside of you and you get into a situation, all right, the Holy Spirit, all right, now has great difficulty in being able to show you, all right, the relevant scriptures that will fit that particular situation and give you an assurance that when you ask according to your own will, right, that you are actually fulfilling the will of God when you pray and ask for your own specific thing. Understand that a supplication is a specific request made known unto God. The prayer is the general thing that backs it. And we saw in Acts chapter 4, when they ran into trouble, they first of all cited the prayer, and that was found in Acts chapter 2. and said, why do the heathen rage? And according to the words of your servant David, they quoted that. And then they went into the supplication and said, grant unto us now, this is our supplication, that with all boldness we'll speak your word. And then they went further in their supplication that you're stretching forth of your hands, you will heal and signs and wonders will be done. And when you look at Acts chapter 5 verse 21, it was exactly what they prayed that we started seeing on the streets of Jerusalem, which means that signs and wonders started happening, the Bible says, through the hands of the apostles. To the extent that the shadow of Peter, once it went over the people, they got healed. That was the result of a supplication that was made by a united church that offered it up directly unto God, right, based on the will of God that was known unto them, and they prayed that. So we said praying in tongues there, you know, will go a long way, right? The Holy Spirit has been sent to give us knowledge. His first work is knowledge. The Bible says we have received the Spirit not of this world, but of God, that we may know those things freely given to us by God. So he wants to bring us into the knowledge, right, of certain things. Now, when we offer this prayer up unto God, which is what Daniel did, he understood by books what was contained, all right, in the book of Jeremiah, and offered up his prayers unto God, right? And let me just say something here. God, if we walk with God and don't take faith, as Kenneth Copeland said, as a parachute in times of crisis, just to get ourselves out of crisis, but we understand it's a lifestyle, and we fellowship with God and walk with God, what will happen is that God, who sees and knows all things, knows what's coming down the road 3 months' time, and he will prepare you with scriptures as you are reading the word of God. He will just lead you into areas in the word of God and bring you into a knowledge of certain scriptures that you might not know why he's showing you those things until things now begin to show up, right, within your life, and he has prepared you for that. Right, God is so massive and deep. This morning I was listening just before service to a Keith Butler message, and there was something he was saying that happened, all right, that he confronted, and this probably was maybe about 1984 or so, right? So this is a long time ago, but it fitted a situation I was confronting in exact terms today. And let me tell you this, when God gave Kid Butler that message, he was also thinking about me 33 years after. You get what I'm saying here? So books have been written 25 years ago to address your situation you face next week. All right? That's how vast God is, right? And so we should make ourselves available and acquire knowledge and get informed, right? Because the Holy Spirit will find it easier to be able to bring up scriptures unto us. Now, when we make a supplication, we should now spend enough time in prayer, all right, to allow the peace of God, which is the thoughts of God, all right, concerning that particular thing to start entering into our hearts, which means thoughts about the expected end. So what God wants to do is that he wants to start sending thoughts, right? Okay, God, I believe, you know, I have your word concerning this. I've come to pray. And when you start praying, God says, well, I'll start answering your prayer by sending thoughts to you. Thoughts are going to start coming out, all right, of God, right into your heart. And it's what you do with these thoughts that will ultimately determine what happens in your life. The Bible tells us God gives things without fault finding. That if any man wants wisdom, he should go and meet God. He's liberal and he doesn't find fault, which means there's no hindrance in him blessing you. It says, however, if a person is given something by God and that person is double-minded, it says that person should not think they will be able to receive it from God. In other words, their mind, all right, fluctuates, right? They're double-minded. They don't just hold the thoughts of God concerning this thing. Let them not think they shall receive anything from God. So God constantly wants to pour out his thoughts into us, wants us to make use of those thoughts in renewing our mind. And when we do that, then what happens is things begin to appear within our lives. Now, I want to start by reading out something I wrote here, all right? And I started by saying that there's really no shortcut to reality here. There are no shortcuts to reality. You want to have a real experience with God, there are no shortcuts to it. There is always the danger in our Christian life, right, or Christian experience, of turning to enticements, the enticements of a shortcut via means of just blessings and experiences that can get us seated, all right, in fluctuating feelings and not in, all right, and we go adrift from the anchor of scriptural facts, which means that you no longer anchor what your expectation on scriptural facts, but you are now anchoring those things on experiences on the outside and not on scriptural facts, right? The anchor to everything we do must be scriptural facts. A present glorious experience doesn't ensure fruit unto maturity, but it's a patient continuance in well-doing. We've got to understand to taste of the Lord's grace is one thing. To be established in it in character life and in habit, regular life, is another thing. Experiences and blessings, though real gracious visitations, we should not rest upon them and cause us to be led to think that we have come to the end of the conflict. Fruit ripens slowly. Days of sunshine, and there'll be days of storm. All add their share to your development, if you understand it. What will bring advancement to you more than any other thing is first of all to develop a system through which you will practice the word of God every day. That is, you have developed a system. Even if it's for 1 hour every day, you go through, all right, a daily routine in practicing the word of God, doing the basic things that the scripture teaches, reading the word, praying in the spirit, praising God, meditating on the word, speaking the word out loud, right, into your life and situation. But the most important step you will take in advancement, if you are believing God for a thing, is to get up when you sense a moody swing. When those thoughts bombard, when discouragement comes, when you think that it's not going your way, that you rise up at that moment and start speaking out the words that you have been meditating upon, praising God for the fulfillment of His promise, regardless of what's going on the outside, and you speak the word until that mood is completely broken and joy begins to come up on the inside of you.
Thank you for listening.